A couple nights ago, my husband Brady and I were watching the competitive cooking show Chopped. If you don't know the show, it starts with four competitors. They each have a basket of ingredients, which is a surprise to them until moments before they start cooking. And in that basket are random ingredients, often paired together in ways that it seem very much like a mishmash. So you might have catfish and artichokes, but also coffee and Captain Crunch cereal, all of which they have to incorporate in a dish that is not only just palatable, but tasty. One by one, the competitors are eliminated or chopped during each round until there are two final competitors at the end. And that evening, while we were watching, one of those two final competitors commented to the camera that he was much, 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 much better prepared to win this round than his competitor. I immediately turned to Brady and said, that was about three too many muches past confidence. He's leaning far into arrogance. And I'm all for confidence, but arrogance is a certain trait that will engender Brady and myself toward the other competitor, which is probably part of what makes it easy to root for the tax collector in this parable from Luke. Jesus sets it up as if it's a softball for the tax collector. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. For anybody who's been following along with Luke, you know that it's usually the Pharisees who are at odds with Jesus. They pit themselves against him, hoping to win arguments, and they frequently come off with an air of arrogance, which is very true of the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. Luke goes on saying, the Pharisee standing by himself was praying, thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Thank you so much that I am not like these other people. It's terribly difficult to hear him say anything except, I am much, 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 much better than them, especially to 21st century Western ears. And at this point, even anybody who may have gone into the parable open to the idea that maybe the Pharisee isn't the bad guy will take a turn and start rooting for the other guy, even if he is a tax collector. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but he was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. It is at this point that I begin to hear Admiral Akbar from Return of the Jedi in the back of my head saying, it's a trap! Because this all seems way too easy, way too simple. It's a trap because Jesus rarely says precisely what he means, and he never, ever is so simple or precise when it is a parable. And it's knowing this that helps us to get at the real meat of the story. So the trap is thinking that it's an either-or game, that there's one winner and one loser in the parable. The trap is thinking that Jesus wants us to side with either the Pharisee or the tax collector, and that it can't at all be both. There can't be two winners in the chopped kitchen. Someone gets sent home. So why would there be more than one when we're talking about salvation? We're trapped into thinking that there is a winner and a loser all the time. And if we're honest with ourselves, in this world, we think that the Pharisee is the winner. Sure, we don't like arrogance, and while he comes across that way, I believe that the Pharisee's prayer is in earnest. He does what is required of him by the law. He's the model churchgoer that me and many of my colleagues would want sitting where you are. He helps with the coffee hour, and he always makes sure there's enough chairs at Bible study. He's eager to help in whatever way he can. He prays daily. He knows his scriptures, and he even willingly serves on council. And of course, top it all off, he gives a tenth of his income. He's an upstanding citizen who follows the rules and treats others with kindness. The Pharisee is the person that we want to be. Good people. We work diligently to ensure a job well done during the day, and then we go home and stress about being good parents for our kids. Some of us put in long hours at work because we want a project to be just right, and we want to impress our boss. We will exhaust ourselves volunteering with organizations, even including this community, because we want to see them succeed, and we want to know that we have made a difference in the world. And while all this work is right and good, we should be doing it, it too can be a trap. Many of us, myself included, dwell on our mistakes at night because we want to be better people, perfect people. The problem for the Pharisee and for many of us is that we believe our work, what we do, defines our work, that it just, or defines us, that it justifies us, that our worth to God, our neighbor, and maybe most importantly to ourselves is wrapped up in what we do. The Pharisee is righteous because of what he does, but he is not justified. That distinction belongs to the tax collector, who knows he can never live up to that standard. He's not a Jew, he has no birthright, and he is uncircumcised. So he stands far from the Pharisee, beating his breast and asking for God to be merciful to him. The tax collector knows something the Pharisee does not, and that is any relationship he has with God is not because of what he has done or who he is, but because God loves him and will be merciful to him. The trap for him, though, is that he may simply get stuck there, continually berating himself and proclaiming himself unworthy, never being able to move away from his own self-absorption about his unworthiness and able to fully enjoy God's love and mercy. As if he's a lover who cannot understand that he is worthy of love simply by being, unable to enjoy the fruits of the relationship. This is the trap of this parable, believing that it's an either or, wanting to side with either the Pharisee or the tax collector, while it seems Jesus really wants for us to be somewhere in the middle, both righteous and justified. So Jesus wants us to be able to see everything around us as something to be received, delighted in, and shared with joy instead of earned, achieved, or protected. We're fully able to participate in the bliss of the divine kingdom because we recognize that everything is a gift that we could never earn, yet also that we are sent forth to care for this gift, to care for those around us, to nurture and sustain all of creation, because it is the greatest gift that we have ever been given, and it is entirely because God loves us.